This is a CD that we heard for the first time on the programme about 2 months ago or so from the McCarthy family. This track features Jacqueline on concertina, Marion on Illan Pipes, Bernadette on fiddle and Tommy Jr. on fiddle as well. Two Reels, My Love is in America and The Milliner's Daughter. McCarthy family, My Love is in America, and The Milliner's Daughter, and that CD is entitled The Family Album. And recently I met up with two members of the McCarthy family, with Jacqueline and Marion in Galway, and we talked about the CD. And first of all, I asked them how they came at this point in their careers to record an album together as a family.
I suppose we've been playing together for so long, like 30 odd years, and we just decided, I suppose as a tribute to our father as well, to get together and make a CD, and it wasn't really, there wasn't an awful lot of work put into it because we've been playing together for so long, you know. So
it came fairly naturally.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, when you were growing up and that, you played a lot together. But in recent years, I suppose you wouldn't have had the opportunity, the four of you, to be together that often.
No, not so much, because we've all, you know, naturally gone our own way, and kids, and myself and Tommy King play together, and Marion plays with Johnny, and Bernadette plays with Henry, and Tommy over in Boston plays at Louise, so we don't really get together that much, you know, as a group. So it's, I suppose it's kind of special, really.
To get an opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I'm going to take you back, Marion, and ask you to take us back to London and growing up in London and learning music in London. I suppose your father being the main influence.
Well, it's funny, but I don't really remember having... we never had formal lessons, but my father was in the house and he was there to encourage us. And I'd be picking up... Well, I played the recorder first at school and then Irish tunes started coming out. And then I'd ask him, how did this go? And he'd correct you if you were wrong. But that was our kind of lessons. And he might not teach me a tune for weeks after. But and I think it was the same with all of us. Bernadette was a third child, and she didn't really get a look in, but she had to fight for her rights. She had to fight to play. But we all managed to pick up an instrument.
The only lessons we had were piano lessons. Mrs. Percy.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been classical piano, I presume.
Yeah. Saturdays coming to the house. But
she used to fall asleep during our lessons. And I thought it was only me, but I found out Jacqueline, she used to fall asleep with Jacqueline as well.
Yeah, really boring.
So tell us a bit about, I mean, how did you choose the various different instruments that you end up playing? Because in a lot of families, for example, all the children will end up playing the same instrument or the same instrument as the parents. But, I mean, you've all played diverse instruments.
Yeah, well, I suppose my dad played the tin whistle, concertina, Ilan pipes and fiddle, and the fiddle wouldn't have been his great instrument, but we all play those instruments.
The concertina, he you know, the area he comes from in Clare, Kilmihill, Sinchean seemed to be, I don't know, for some reason well known for concertina players. And one man called Silas Lillis, who also had lessons with him from this man called Stack Ryan, sent him over a concertina to be repaired back in 1967, and he brought it down to Harry Crabb, who had a concertina shop in Islington, North London, and brought it into him. And then 3 or 4 months later, went to pick it up and saw the concertina that I played to this day on the shelf, and bought it for me for £25. So that's the one that I still play to this day.
Has it had a lot of, I mean, you must have had to do a fair amount of work with it on it and that over the years.
No, not really. No, just lucky to have a nice, good concertina, you know. No, I haven't done anything really. Just the odd tuning.
It's so small, and but there's a strong, sweet sound from it. Yeah.
What about the pipes then, Marion? Because, I mean, I suppose in those days it was unusual for girls to play the pipes.
Yeah, well, I suppose I played the tin whistle for years, and my father used to say, do you want to try his pipes? And occasionally I put the pipes on, and they were so big and heavy, and but I took them up then eventually, I think when I was about 14 or 15, and it was very unusual for girls. I never even thought about that. It didn't come into my head, but I just thought it'd be a progression from the tin whistle. And I have my father's pipes now.
Just talking about London again and the different musicians that you would have met and you would have heard, you know, that you would have come visiting to your dad or that you would have gone out to meet, and that would have been, I mean, okay, there would have been a fair few people from Clare, but they would have been from all over the place, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, all over. Yeah, I mean, well, Bobby Casey, I suppose, is the first one that comes to mind. He would have been from Clare. And
James Kelly,
who used to visit London. Danny Meehan from Donegal. Brian
Doran. Do you remember, is it Felix Doran? He was a travelling piper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. PJ Crotty and Angela were over there at one time.
Anyone
Paddy Taylor
London,
from Limerick. Yeah, anyone visiting London would have called in as well, you know. Billy Clancy, Michael Russell.
Yeah.
So I thought they were exciting times, talking about them now, but at the time, did you realise how kind of exciting it was to be meeting all these people? It was just part of the normal day.
Yeah, part of the normal day. We never took much notice, even though we used to enjoy visitors coming and playing music and hearing them, but we didn't take much notice.
That's like anything, when you're in the middle of it, you don't really
take it for granted.
Just take it for granted, don't you?
So how did you all end up, well, apart from Tommy now, who's in Boston, how did the two of you and Bernadette end up deciding to come back to live in the west of Ireland?
I suppose I was the first. Tommy Keane moved to London in 81, and after about 8 years he said, I don't want to be here for the rest of my life, like all the rest of the immigrants 40 years later. So he started applying for jobs and got a job back here. So we moved back 87. Bernadette and Henry moved back 89. You were in Sydney at the time,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, it was about 91, I think.
91.
2 years later.
And then my mum and dad, we all started having kids then, so my mother and father decided that they were missing out on all the grandchildren, so they sold up and moved over, kind of reluctantly, really, because they loved London. And then Tommy and Louise moved back, but only for about 2 years, and then they went back to Boston and bought the pub and all the rest of it, you know.
And they're pretty much settled in Boston now, I think, aren't they? They're an institution there.
Well, they are.
No, they're talking about the usual.
They come here, they want to stay here, and they go over there, they don't know what they're doing there, you know, the usual.
They're moving back to send Rose to school in a couple of years.
That's the plan, anyway.
Yeah.
Did you find it difficult to settle here at all?
No, not
no,
at all.
No.
No, I didn't. I settled very easily, and but I think when I look back on it, I probably was a bit lonely, really, because I didn't know anyone here in Galway. The only people I knew was Mary Bergen and Frankie Gavin. Apart from that, I didn't know anyone, you know?
Same to me, I didn't know anyone either.
Yeah. So it was like starting all over again, you know, your comfortable group of friends that you met every weekend were just gone, you know?
And did you find it difficult to get involved in playing music then?
A little bit.
Yeah.
The Galway music seemed to be different to our sort of music.
Yeah,
I've realised now over the years, I think our music, we haven't progressed, our music is very traditional.
Kind of old fogies.
Yeah, some of the music sessions would be a lot more modern and have different influences.
Yeah, I find it very, you know, when you've been part of the furniture, like in London, you don't have to make any efforts to get anywhere or doing anything, and then you come somewhere else and it's like starting all over again and no one knows who you are or, you know. It's not very good for your ego.
And what about, I mean, do you go back to London regularly and what sort of changes have you noticed over there? Because people do say that it has changed a lot.
Oh, we were back there, all of us, just last weekend. There's a festival in Camden Town called Return to Camden, organised by Karen Ryan.
Great festival, yeah.
And I must say, it was like we never left, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard so many negative things about London, and I must say I've been back a good few times in the 15 years that we've been here. But it might necessarily be to play music, and I wouldn't have even bothered going to any of the music sessions. But this time, because we're involved in the festival, we met so many people. It was a real blast from the past, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, it was great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, we hadn't seen for 30 years.
So, I mean, we went to one particular pub, the Old Triangle, which is around the back of Finsbury Park. And that was like the music when we left.
It was brilliant.
And you know what the nice thing was? I mean, friends of ours that we did played music with as kids and did Irish dance with, their kids are now playing music, and they're playing beautiful music, you know?
Yeah. And your kids, of course, are playing music as well here in Ireland.
They're all playing music.
It's as if we can relate to the music back in London. It's as if time hasn't moved on with music.
Yeah.
But, and with Clare, and going to Clare, you fit in with the music there.
You're both involved in teaching quite a bit as well, I think, and I suppose that to a certain extent gives you a great eye of what's happening in with regard to music, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What the young people want to listen to and want to hear.
Well, you have to throw in a few modern tunes every now and again just to keep them interested, and I remember Dustin's song, The Spanish Lady was on the radio a few years ago, and all the kids wanted to learn that tune, and they couldn't believe I knew the tune. How did you learn that tune?
I just can't get over how popular Irish music is now, because when we were children playing music, especially when you come, well, for a start in London, you wouldn't have told your friends that you played music, or they would have kind of known, but I wouldn't have bothered telling them we'd been the night before, because it just wasn't worth explaining. They wouldn't have understood.
No.
And then coming over here, they used to laugh at us, the kids, you know?
The kids here in Ireland?
Yeah.
Or the kids back in London at school, they used to laugh at us when we were saying we were going to Ireland.
Yeah, and the kids over here, you know, when we used to go to my mother's place, the kids, the local kids, used to think we were weirdos playing Irish music with English accents.
Because none of them presumably listened to music.
No, but it was unusual, though. We were a minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the time, it's a lot
more popular.
You only
felt comfortable in places like Dublin. We would have felt very comfortable with, you know, the usual gang of the Gunkins and the McAvannies and the Gay McKeown and, you know, all that crowd, or it's down in Clare. But apart from those places, you know,
they wouldn't have been exposed to music, though, I suppose.
And you reckon that has changed big time now in the last five?
Oh, hugely.
Yeah, there's music lessons everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. We're not having music classes now. Yeah.
Okay, let's get back and talk just a little bit about the CD again before we finish. It of course, it doesn't just feature the four of you, because all of your husbands and Tommy's wife, Louise, are featured. And there's also a couple of tracks of old recordings from your dad.
Yeah, 3 archive recordings from my dad. Shame he wasn't here to play on it in real life.
Yeah.
I would imagine he'd be very proud of it. I mean, I think you did do a performance together as a family, didn't you, just a few years ago for Down 3 and T.G. Cahir.
Mm. That's right. And it was Brendan Begley that
presented it.
And it was him. We never really thought about it. It was him that said at the time, it's unusual for a whole family to be married to, you know, musicians. Mm-hmm. I kind of looked around and said, oh, yeah, I never thought about it.
better do something about it.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, let's choose a track, a selection of tunes to play to finish off.
Well, maybe Tommy McCarthy's.
Yeah, McCarthy's jig that's composed by Charlie Lennon. He composed that as a tribute to my dad.
It's a shame my father didn't get to hear the tune, because I know he would have loved it.
Okay, we'll have a listen to that, and thanks a million for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you.
McCarthy's jig performed by his 4 children, Jacqueline, Marion, Bernadette and Tommy Jr. and featuring on the album, The Family Album, which was released earlier this year by the McCarthy family. And we're not finished with the McCarthy family because they actually feature on the next track that we're going to hear as well. It's not too often that we hear poetry on this programme, but this is from a new CD which will be officially launched in Renville in North Connemara next Thursday night. This is Moya Cannon, a poem reading one of her own poems, Between the Jigs and the Reels.
Between the jigs and the reels. Between a jig and a reel, what is there? Only one beat escaped from a rib cage. Tunes are migratory, They fly from heart to heart, intimating that there's a pattern to life's pulls and draws. Because what matters to us most can seldom be told in words, the heart's moods are better charted in its own language. The rhythm of Cooley's accordion, which could open the heart of a stone, John Doherty's dark reels, and the tune that the sea taught him, the high parts of the road, and the underworld, which only music and love can brave, to bring us back to our senses and on beyond.
Varma and Hardy Man the Fiddler, the two jigs there, following Moya Cannon's reading of her own poem Between the Jigs and the Reels. That features on a new CD of the same title, Between the Jigs and the Reels. Music from Connemara Bog and Sea Weeks in and around the Letterfrack area of North Connemara. And Between the Jigs and the Reels will be officially launched in Renville House Hotel in Connemara on next Thursday night at 9 o'clock. And all are welcome there. Moya Cannon will be there to read, and also the Kane sisters, Liz and Yvonne from Letterfrack, Josephine Marsh, Mick Kinsella, and lots of the people who feature on this album. It's a lovely combination of local musicians and singers and visitors, regular visitors to the area. People like Martin O'Connor are featured, Paul Gunning and Jimmy Fitzgerald, John Spillane and Mick Kinsella as well. And it's called Between the Jigs and the Reels, and music from Connemara, Bog and Sea Weeks, and being officially launched on next Thursday night.